Today's show is brought to you by MyPillow, where there is currently a buy one, get one free sale going on. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code NOQ, or just call 800-862-0382. That's promo code NOQ, 1-800-862-0382, or MyPillow.com.
Are feeling like strangers in a strange land. Sadly, it's becoming more challenging every day to recognize our own country. Listening to the Midnight Sentinel will help us make sense of the craziness we're seeing and hearing about all around us. We need patriots and Christians who are willing to stand up for the values that made our nation great. Are you ready to be a sentinel? Here's J.D. Rucker.
Good morning, or good afternoon, depending upon where you're listening to me. You're listening to the J.D. Rucker Live Show, or you're listening to the replay at the Midnight Sentinel Podcast. Now, I do want to apologize to those who have missed the podcast the last few days. I've had just so many things hitting me that I have not been able to upload two shows in a row to the Midnight Sentinel, so I'll be uploading them today, so don't worry, you'll get a dump of several shows. Actually, one of them, it's unfortunate, but I did not record the one a couple of days ago. I did, but I think I recorded over it, kind of like that old rookie mistake that we used to make with tapes or VHS tapes or whatever, where we would record over things. You kids out there probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but so be it. We do have some it's sad news to start the day off, at least from my perspective. Ray Liotta, actor Ray Liotta, one of my favorites, he has died suddenly in his sleep, they say. He's 67 years old. Now, of course, I'm not going to start spreading rumors, but I will admit that it is definitely apropos for us to assume and for us to question. You know, whenever anything like this happens, whenever somebody who is relatively young, 67 isn't exactly young, but it's not like they could die at any time sort of age. And when he was down there filming, so obviously he wasn't like experiencing major health issues, for them to die suddenly, seemingly randomly, the first question that comes to mind is, are they fully vaccinated, double boosted, whatever? And I would say, considering Liotta and his Hollywood connections, his history, I would assume that he has been. And did that have a role? We'll never know. You know, they won't tell us. Even if it certainly did, they won't tell us that it was that. They'll say that it was something else. Or they'll just let it go and not admit to anything at all. You know, mind your own business. And I don't blame them, by the way. I'm not suggesting they need to tell us. You know, at this stage, we have so much evidence that the COVID jabs are dangerous that we don't need any more. You know, it is what it is. You know, we'll speculate, and that's the first question that comes to a lot of our minds when we see people like 67-year-old Ray Liotta dying inexplicably, at least at this stage. Maybe there was a reason. Maybe there was something completely different. But just the sheer fact that becomes the first question that many of us ask, that tells us the state of affairs here in the United States. But I do want to talk about another state of affairs today, something else that's been on the mind, and there was a thread, a very wonderful thread, actually, sent to me that on Twitter that was, well, worth sharing. It was from Andrew Follett, who is a senior analyst for Club for Growth. He addressed the topic of gun control. And there's been this narrative, this big push, and there always is. I shouldn't say there has been. There's always a push after every major mass shooting here in the United States. There's always a push to say, you know, well, we need more gun control, and it's just a U.S. problem, and this, that, or the other. And Follett does a very good job of debunking that. I did not get to see the interview or even read the story about it, but I did see the headline this morning that Ted Cruz apparently walked out because he was in the middle of an interview where they started asking him why all these shootings only happen in the United States. And that is the narrative that everybody on the left is pushing, whether it's Democrats, corporate media, they're all just saying, oh, you know, America has a mass shooting problem and it's just an American problem and nobody else has this problem. Folks, that is a lie. That is a bald-faced lie. Statistically speaking, it is a lie. Factually speaking, it is a lie. Okay, we are not the only country that has a gun problem. And the other nations that have mass shootings, okay, they have much harsher gun laws than we do. So I'm going to go ahead and first let me turn down my volume. Sorry about that. A little beep in, a little beep in there. First, I'm going to go through this thread and explain what they're saying here. And it's, again, this is something that's from Andrew Follett. It's over on Twitter. It's a relatively long thread, which doesn't translate into long at all, since tweets are only 280 characters each. But it is worth listening to every word and reading every tweet, and I'll be sharing this in the show notes. So it starts off with a thread on how the media is telling you two major lies about mass shootings and gun control. Lie number one, other countries with vastly stricter gun laws than the U.S. have higher rates of mass shootings. Number two, U.S. jurisdictions with gun laws have exponentially higher rates of gun violence. Well, it's just not true. Okay, so let's just start off with the stats. According to Follett, although events in the U.S. tend to get the lion's share of media exposure, mass shootings are clearly a worldwide issue. The U.S. makes up about 1.15% of the world's mass shootings, while having almost 5% of the world's population. Well, that's right there, okay? We can stop. I mean, I could just end the show right there. That's it. Case closed. Okay, but then there will be people that might say, you know what? Well, that's what they're doing is they're taking into account. They're pulling statistics from Ethiopia where there's civil war and they're comparing themselves to nations in the Middle East or nations in Southeast Asia or what? No, folks, we're comparing ourselves in this case to nations across the world, including Western nations, including what Andrew Follett likes to describe as nice nations. It's the best way to describe it because that's how your average Joe thinks about it. It's like, oh, France is nice, you know, whereas Ethiopia is mean. Of course, there's going to be more shootings in Ethiopia per capita. But according to this abstract that Follett shares, okay, the U.S. is well below the world average in terms of the number of mass public shootings, and the global increase over time has been much bigger than for the U.S. Over the 18 years from 1998 to 2015, our list contains 2,354 attacks and at least 4,888 shooters outside the United States. Let's stop there. So in this 17-year period, there have been 2,354 mass shooting attacks outside of the United States. If you were to ask your average Joe how many mass shootings happen outside of the United States in any given year, they'd probably say 1, 2, 0, 5. No, that's just not true. These are facts here. Within the United States, during that same time period, we had 53 attacks and 57 shooters. By our count, the U.S. makes up less than 1.15% of the mass public shooters, 1.49% of the murders, and 2.2% of their attacks. All these are much less than the U.S.'s 4.6% share of the world's population. Attacks in the U.S. are not only less frequent than other countries, but they are also much less deadly, on average. Follett continues, out of 97 countries with data, the U.S. is 64th in the frequency of mass shootings with 65 and 65th in murder rate, and rates of mass shootings elsewhere are rising faster. Four times as many per capita died in mass shootings in France as in the United States. Let me repeat that. Four times as many per capita died in mass shootings in France as in the United States. 21 times in Norway. 21 times more mass shootings in Norway. Now, this is something I'm imagining you all out there. You're like, oh, this couldn't be true. This this has to be, you know, some right-wing conservative fake news that's out there. You know, they're trying to debunk that. There's no way this could be true, because how could they possibly, they being the corporate media and Democrats, how could they be possibly making their claims that they make on a daily basis now, on an hourly basis? How could they possibly make these claims if these stats are true? Surely they would never. Surely they would never lie to us. Surely they would be well aware of the facts and would express those facts to us, right? I mean, and here's the sad part. I'm not just talking about the sheep that are watching MSN, MSNBC, or CNN, or reading the New York Times, or anything like that. I'm saying that if you were to take your average, you know, well-versed conservative, somebody who's watching Newsmax or OAN or maybe even Fox News if they have to, you know, and they're probably would be very shocked to hear that Norway has had 21 times more mass shootings during the same time period as the United States, that France has had four times as many per capita died in mass shootings. In addition, back to Follett's thread, in addition to these deadly nice, that's what they say, these fairly nice nations, Finland, Germany, Israel, Italy, Spain, and Switzerland, have higher mass shooting death rates. You don't hear about this, not even on Fox News. All of those are pretty nice countries, they also have much stricter gun laws than we have here in the United States, and all have a higher per capita deaths from mass shootings than the U.S. According to this 2018 study, surveying data over an 18-year period, the U.S. is 64th in the world in terms of mass shooting rates per capita, which sounds far worse than it is, because all the countries in gray below, and I'm looking at this, I know you can't see it, but all the countries in gray, just they didn't report their data. So we might actually be better than 64th on the list. I'm almost certain that we are better than. If anything, our policy structure is actually pretty good at preventing this by global standards, especially relative to fairly nice countries of the type we want to compare America to. So when we see this notion out there, and what he said in his first tweet, this major lie that other countries with vastly stricter gun control laws than the U.S., he's saying it's a lie, but he misspoke. He's saying that the lie would be that other countries with vastly stricter gun control laws than the U.S. have lower rates of mass shootings. That would be the lie, because that's not true. I mean, that's it's a lie because it's false. And it's a lie versus just being misunderstood or misinterpreted. We know this because, again, we're not talking about just your average Joe on the street. We're talking about journalists who are supposed to be seeking the truth. We're talking about Democrats who are supposed to be intelligent. They're lying. They're not just out there, you know, reading the wrong stats or whatever. They're not just mistaken, okay? They know what the facts are. That's their job. They are very well aware of these statistics, and yet they choose to lie to you, to lie to me, to lie to America, because that's part of their agenda, okay? Their agenda demands that we be disarmed. And when I say their agenda, I'm not talking about corporate media. They don't care whether or not we're armed or not. If anything, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. They like guns. They get more viewers when there's shootings. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that's not to say that corporate media is sitting there, oh, I can't wait for the next mass shooting for people to be killed, because then we have some news. There's plenty of news. I'm not suggesting that they're out there hoping for killings. Though I wouldn't be surprised if some of them were slime balls. But I am saying that they don't really actually care about whether or not there's shootings. Okay, they don't care about gun control. Maybe personally, there's individuals who are personally they hold that as part of their ideology. I'm talking about, and I'm not even really talking about the Democrats, because they're just looking at it from an election perspective. They know that it's a popular topic. This is why idiots like Beto O'Rourke will go make a fool of himself at a meeting that was intended to help start the healing process following the mass shooting at Robb Elementary in Texas. Now, it's supposed to be a time of concern, a time of of expressing more information, sharing that data, and to give offer a venue for people to be able to mourn. We are, as a nation, we are still in shock because it was a shocking crime. And yet you have Beto O'Rourke going up there and trying to score political points. You can't say that this is just, oh, he was just so emotionally, he was just distraught, and he was just out there. He felt compelled to do this, and it was just all of a sudden spontaneous. No, sir. No, ma'am. No, nobody. That's not how Beto O'Rourke works. I was on yesterday with the great Wayne Allen Root, and as I explained to him, this is not something that, Beto O'Rourke is not spontaneous in any way. He is a politician through and through. He wakes up first thing in the morning and he thinks, how do I get myself in the news? How do I get more exposure? How do I score political points? How do I get more fundraising dollars? Okay. The reason that, by the way, just as a quick side note, when you have a politician that loses constantly, such as Beto O'Rourke, it's because they are aggrandizing themselves. Number one, they're narcissists. They love the attention. Number two, they're expanding their war chest. They like having that money given to them. And yes, folks, there are ways for them to take that money and have it benefit them personally. It doesn't all have to go to campaigns, but that's a topic for another day. Beto O'Rourke wakes up, thinks, how do I politicize whatever it is that I'm going to politicize? And he thinks that way throughout the day until the end, until he goes to sleep. And he's probably dreaming about it too, okay? He is a pure politician. Forget about his past. Forget about, oh, he was in a punk band. He used to wear a wedding dress. And he was, he's just a cool guy. No, he's a politician. He is 100% politician. There's not a single apolitical bone in his body. Maybe there was in the past, but there is no, that's not the case anymore. Everything is calculated. There's nothing spontaneous about the man. He is more of a politician than Joe Biden. I'm serious. Joe Biden at least has other things. He still wants to smell kids' hair and stuff. He still wants to eat ice cream. Beto O'Rourke doesn't care about anything like that. It's pure politics for him. Just saying, okay? Just a quick side note. But we have to wonder about this agenda. We know that the corporate media, they're pushing, of course, for just to help get more Democrats elected. We know that Democrats, they focus on this stuff because they know that it will help them as well during election time. But what is the actual overarching agenda? I'm not going to go into that yet, but I want you guys to start thinking about that now. Where does the overarching agenda come from? Who is setting that agenda? And what is the end goal of it? Because as we'll see here, if the goal is to reduce crime, reduce murders, reduce mass shootings, then gun control is not the answer. As Follett says, as he's addressing part two of his, his first part, of course, was about how other countries with stricter gun laws have lower rates of mass shootings. But part two is U.S. jurisdictions with gun laws have exponentially higher rates of gun violence. He wants to make sure that we know this, and it is true. So let's go ahead and address that. Where did it go? The highest, and this is, again, Andrew Follett from Club for Growth, which, by the way, I'm not a huge fan of. The thread's a thread. I don't look at somebody. He's got truth. I don't care who he's affiliated with. I'm not a big supporter of Club for Growth or anything like that. I'm just saying that his thread is good. So it is what it is. The highest gun ownership state with the loosest gun laws in the nation is Wyoming, where 59.7% of households have a gun. 60%, folks, of households in Wyoming have a gun. You know where I want to live? Wyoming. Why? Because I like my neighbors to have guns. I like to go to a grocery store and know that chances are nobody's going to come in there with a gun to try to kill me because they know they'll get killed and they'll get shot by 15 people. Let's face it, that's the reality. Now, that's not the narrative. That's not what the left will tell you. That's not what corporate media will tell you. By their standards, Wyoming should be just dead, okay? There should be mass shootings every other day because so many people are armed and there are very, very unrestrictive gun laws there, if any. According to Follett, Wyoming gun laws are arguably the least restrictive in the United States. And I'm not going to go into those gun laws. But they are, I'm out here in California. My gun laws are, wow. I have to jump through so many hoops to get my firearms, to get my ammunition. It's not even funny. Continuing on with Follett's thread, Wyoming does not have a gun homicide problem with a rate of only 1.4 per 100,000. It's actually lower than right across the border in Canada, where everybody's like, oh, Canada's that's safe there. And it is, by the way. It is pretty safe there. But it's even safer in Wyoming, where nearly 60% of households own guns. And only about a third, that 1.4 per 100,000 is actually only about a third of that of the nation as a whole. The highest murder rate of any jurisdiction in the U.S. is Washington, D.C., go figure, which has a murder rate of 21.8 per 100,000, more than 20 times that of most European countries. But D.C. also has the most restrictive gun laws in the country and the lowest rates of legal gun ownership, which with numbers less than anyone else here, and even lower than many in European states, where Europe, you know, oh, in Europe they don't have a gun problem, which we've already shown they do, and not a gun problem, but a mass shooting problem, despite having very strict gun laws. They still have shootings. They still have murders. They still have mass shootings. How could that possibly be? They're Europe. They're so restrictive with their guns. Well, they are. But as we, I think, my audience, and as Andrew Follett states here, and we will get to this conclusion, when you have more guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens, you will have less crime. When you have more guns in the hands of good guys out there and about in grocery stores, you know, teaching class or doing whatever, then you're going to have fewer crimes, fewer deaths. It's hard. Here's the biggest challenge we have is to try to make that logical connection, okay? Because it's not on the surface, the logic would tell us if guns kill people, which they don't, by the way, people kill people, we know that. But again, from their logical perspective, if the left thinks, well, guns kill people, so if we have fewer guns, that means fewer people will die. That's the concept. And on the surface, that concept can actually appeal to and reach otherwise lucid individuals, independents, even some left-leaning Republicans might think, oh, you know what, that kind of makes sense. But when we realize the vast majority of gun owners in America have no desire to shoot anyone, have no desire to commit violent crimes, have absolutely no desire to take a life except in their own self-defense. And when I say vast majority, we're talking about 99.9999% or something higher than that. Gun owners, generally speaking, don't want to shoot other people. Gun owners, generally speaking, want to protect themselves and protect their families. Which is why having more gun owners, legal gun owners, carrying guns in public places, eliminating gun-free zones, eliminating gun control laws, that more than anything else, will make the United States safer. Back to Follett's thread. I'd say that data suggests that the factors making D.C. have such high gun violence rates are part of the story of why America as a whole is so deadly. But these cannot include high gun ownership or lack of gun regulations by definition. In other words, what he's saying is that places like D.C. with very strict gun laws make it very easy for other nations, and even our own nation, to point fingers and say, hey, oh, see how much gun violence they have? But there's a logical disconnect there, because as it seems, and as Follett will further explain, it seems that the stricter the gun laws, the more gun violence. And a lot of people will say, oh, you know, that's because they have so much gun violence, that's why they enacted the laws. That is not the case, folks. That is not the case. Chicago, and I know Chicago is the shining example that we on the right often use. We probably overuse it. But, you know, we'll use that as the example today because they do have relatively accurate data. That's what makes it easy, by the way, is because they share their data. A lot of cities don't. A lot of cities don't get into specifics. A lot of cities don't publish the data in a timely manner. Chicago does. It's one of the few things they do right. Literally, one of the few things the government of Chicago does right. And only because, I'm sure, it's demanded by the citizens. It wouldn't be the government that says, oh, here, let's share more data that makes us look bad. No, it would be citizens and watchdog groups that made that happen, but I digress. Chicago, as an example, as the example that everybody likes to use, has strict gun laws, and they have their murder rates going up. They just keep going up. Now, one would think, okay, so if you're going to argue that they have the strict gun laws because there's so much gun violence, then it would follow that by enacting stricter gun laws that the gun violence should go down, wouldn't it? Now, their argument, of course, and I'll let Andrew Follett make the argument as to why or what they say to that. If stricter gun laws reduced gun violence rates, you'd expect jurisdictions with those laws to have lower rates of gun violence. Instead, we find quite the opposite to be true. Now, maybe you think, quote, of course those jurisdictions have higher gun violence rates. That's why they enacted laws. I doubt that, he says, and I actually personally know it's not true. But he says, I doubt that, but the data is clear that those laws haven't reduced the rates. The factors making D.C. so deadly are part of the story of why America as a whole is so deadly. But these cannot include high gun ownership. Facts don't care about your feelings. Ugh, I wish I would never have read that. I actually swore to myself I would never say those words out loud. Not because I have anything against Ben Shapiro per se, but just because it's such a overused thing. But hey, whatever. Andrew Follett, you got me, you tricky guy. And blaming this on Republicans, which libs made trend all day yesterday, is stupid. Washington, D.C. hasn't had a Republican mayor since literally 1933 and hasn't had a single Republican on its city council since 2008. Well, let's stop right there. I want to get to a lot more of what he's saying, but I want to make that clear. You know, people have to understand, if you are concerned about gun violence, if that is, if you know, I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Green Party, whatever. If you are concerned about gun violence here in America, then the absolute positive last thing you could ever want to do is to vote for a Democrat. Because I don't know if you can present data that is more crystal clear and blatantly obvious. Okay? No offense to anybody who thought this. Okay, I'm about to insult you, but I'm not meaning to offend you. I need to insult you because you need to be insulted. So no offense to anybody who thought this, but those who believed that Democrats can bring down gun violence are utterly stupid. You are the dumbest thing on earth if you thought that, because every single statistic that is available, every single fact that is out there, tells us the exact opposite is true, that gun violence follows Democrats. It's like flies on poop, okay? If you want more gun violence, if you want more people to die, elect Democrats, period. Because the data is clear. The truth is right there. Just look at the facts, folks. DC has the highest gun death rate of any area, any district in the United States, by far, not even close. And they've had a Democrat mayor since 1933. They have never had, in that time period, they have never had a Republican majority in their city council. Democrats have run D.C. for almost a century. They are the perfect example. Washington, D.C. is the perfect example of what happens when you have too many Democrats. They will make gun violence explode. Period. I should end the show now, but I'm only halfway through, so I'm going to keep going. So no offense, but yeah, if you think voting Democrats will reduce gun violence, you're stupid, you're not paying attention to anything, you're not looking at the facts, you're a moron. No offense. Okay, then the same thing is true of all cities. All the cities with really bad gun violence and homicide rates. In 2019, St. Louis, 64.54 murders per 100K. Last GOP mayor left in 1949. It's the ninth most violent city in the world. With, by the way, very strict gun control laws. that aren't helping anybody. The murder rate in Baltimore is 58.27 per 100,000. It's the 11th most violent city in the world and has very, very strict gun laws. Crazy. This goes on and on and on. You can check the list yourself. You can just do a Google search. Homicide rate, most dangerous cities, homicide rate per whatever, capita. I'm sure they'll have data on Wikipedia. This goes on and on. I stopped looking for Republican mayors after a while because it was all Democrats. It's Democrats all the way down. And that's the truth. You know, what is it about Democrats? What is it about criminals that like to vote for Democrats? Why do you think that's the case? Why do you think that if you do a poll in your average jail, the last one I saw was, I think, 2014 or 2015. Might have been later than that, but it's been a while since I've looked up the data. But it was at like 87% of criminals. No. It was like 63% of criminals were Democrats, and like 87% of violent criminals were Democrats. Yeah, I think that was pretty, because I remember the 87. Anyway, why do criminals love Democrats? Because they know that they are light on crime. Getting tough on crime is not about gun control laws, okay? You know who gun control laws hurt? Non-criminals, law-abiding citizens. Gun control laws will not get tough on crime. Gun control laws will enable criminals. Baltimore, Detroit, St. Louis, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Democrats up and down the board, criminals up and down the board, high gun violence rates, and extremely restrictive gun control laws. These are the facts, folks. These are facts that are publicly available to everybody, which is why I continuously say Democrats aren't stupid, they just hope you are. That's why I continuously say corporate media knows the truth and they try to figure out how to spin it to match their agenda. These are facts, folks. You just won't hear it from the people that you're probably listening to, unless, well, you guys will, okay, because you're listening to me. And I'll tell you the truth, as will Andrew Follett, apparently. Back to his thread. Yet, as I noted yesterday, leftists' primary response is to blame the GOP for this, when they are literally the ones in charge of the cities choking under gun violence. You want to know how to convince me the left are serious about gun control? When they actually bring down gun homicide rates in the cities they politically dominated for decades. Instead, they always cast blame on everyone but themselves. Talk to any leftist about Chicago gun violence, which is so bad. There's literally a website dedicated to statistically tracking it. And they'll blame Indiana's gun laws. This is because the only move leftists have to distract from the fact that the places that are subjected to very strict gun control laws are dying is to blame neighboring Republicans. That's all they can do. That's it. Now, you might ask yourself, you know what? Fine. Gun control laws that they're pressing, restrictive gun control laws don't work, but we still have a problem. Okay? You might say, well, this happened in Texas. Texas doesn't have very strict gun control laws, which I would argue. You know, I think a lot of times people assume that Texas is, you know, like Wyoming. It's not. They do have gun control laws there that are too restrictive, in my opinion. But anyway, it's fine. They're obviously, Texas is not D.C. or St. Louis or Baltimore or Chicago. They don't have those, or California, for that matter. Texas is less restrictive than there, and yet we have this mass shooting there, and it's not the first one. So you might say, fine, what can we do? Are there laws that we could enact that will help to reduce gun violence? Maybe, you know, very popular one, very gets a lot of bipartisan support, is universal background checks. No, no, they don't work. Okay, they have one goal. For every person, by the way, for every person they prevent, for every criminal that they prevent from getting, purchasing a gun, at least legally, they prevent several, maybe dozens, of actual law-abiding citizens who should by no means have their Second Amendment rights restricted, and yet, because of some oddity in our background check system, they get delayed or even denied. And they have to figure out a way around that. or just not be armed. And again, we're talking about law-abiding citizens here. The system, that system, is broken. We've seen that time and time again. We've seen it happen in both directions, where people who are clearly not supposed to have guns are able to get guns, even though they, you know, are able to pass background checks. I forgot the gentleman's name. I forgot the name of that particular case. There was one that really stood out because it was clear as day that he should never have been legally sold a firearm, and yet the background check failed miserably on him. Gosh, where, I don't even remember where it was. It was about 5-6 years ago. Anyway, well, I'll think about it. I'll remember it and put it in the show notes. But we've also seen the opposite, where people who clearly should be allowed to exercise their Second Amendment rights are denied for whatever reason. Okay, background checks don't work. What background checks do, and the reason that everybody's pushing for it, everybody being every single Democrat and even perhaps a plurality, or at least, you know, not a huge minority, but a certain number of Republicans seem to support. The reason they're doing this is because from the globalist perspective, okay, background checks are great because background checks are the way to lead to gun registry. Gun registry is the way to lead to confiscation. This is why you see things like ghost gun bans, okay? It's funny, you never really ever hear about ghost guns that are used in committing crimes. Why is that? I mean, corporate media and Democrats and even some Republicans have painted ghost guns as you know, this is the real source of crime, except we never hear about actual crimes that are committed with them. Why? Because the people that are creating quote-unquote ghost guns aren't necessarily, generally speaking, these aren't violent criminals. These are people that just want government off their back. And again, I'm not saying that's universal. I'm sure there are violent criminals that are using ghost guns to commit violent crimes, and they're just not caught. And if ever they were, then all I assure you, that would be humongous, just wall-to-wall news. We haven't heard any stories about that in a long time. All we hear about is how anecdotally speaking, ghost guns are horrible. The reason that people make their own firearms, and I know people who have made their own firearms. I don't. I wish I could sometimes. But I know people who have made their own firearms. And the reason they do is because, again, they don't want government to know about it. It's not because they're concerned, you know, they're not trying to sell it on the black market or use it as a way to not be traced back to them when they commit violent crimes or murders. It's because they don't want it on the registry, because they believe that at some point in the very near future, government's going to try to take our guns away. Period. That's why their ghost guns even exist. And those who manufacture them, those who build them, whether for themselves or for others, they're doing this not for the sake of crime, but for the sake of government. They're doing it for privacy reasons. Now, again, I'm not saying that's universal. I know that there are bad uses for ghost guns. I'm sure there have been murders committed with ghost guns. I'm sure that a lot of criminals have them. I'm just saying that generally speaking, when we say a lot is relative. When I say that 99.99999% of gun owners have no intention of ever killing anybody and are really just going to protect themselves from crime, from tyranny, that those people, those are the ones that are most likely the ones who will want a ghost gun, because they do fear people like Beto O'Rourke, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris. They fear journalists like New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, even Fox News at times, because they know that this is the road towards gun confiscation. So if it's not universal background checks, we know that doesn't work. What else could we do? Maybe assault rifle bans, right? That's the old. It's funny how they stopped talking about assault weapons and assault rifles. They could now go to the standard talk of long guns. And we might think, okay, good, because before they couldn't really even define what an assault weapon was. So that's good that they changed that, but it's not good because now they have expanded the definition. They have made it to where long guns can be construed as pretty much anything that's not a pistol, right? Which means that they could and probably will attempt to take away even basic guns like shotguns, rifles. Not everything has to be an AR-15 for it to be what they want to take away, I assure you. And eventually they will want to take away the little 380 that you keep in your gun safe for home protection. Eventually they'll want to take away the Remington that you keep in your gun safe for hunting. Eventually they'll want to take away the... And not eventually, they currently are already talking about taking away the semi-automatic rifle that you have for the sake of protecting against tyranny, whether domestic or abroad. They want the guns gone. So no, we can't go into gun bans. I was very upset with Trump over the bump stock ban. I thought that was ridiculous. Because it based on one very suspicious event, one very suspicious crime, mass murder in Las Vegas, they were almost able to gin up even a ton of Republican support, including Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, both looking at massive gun control laws. They ended up falling back on it, thankfully. Well, not they. McConnell was still pushing for it, but Trump ended up going back and saying, okay, well, you know, let's do bump stock bans, okay? That was the trade-off to show that he was hashtag doing something. I didn't like it, but it's better than something worse. Not by much. I still don't like it. I still don't like it at all. I don't even own a bump stock. Just the sheer any attack on the Second Amendment is a bad attack in my books. So are there any laws that could be enacted? Can't do, you know, the whole limiting, restricting, like out here in California, we can only have like 10 rounds in our clip. That's dumb. Okay. It's just dumb. Because again, the people that this hurts are the law-abiding citizens. The people who want to go out and commit mass murders are going to get 15, 16 rounds. Or they're going to have multiple clips or whatever. It's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt the people that are trying to just protect themselves and protect their families. And the funny part, the sad part, I shouldn't say funny. The sad part is that the radical left, they know this. Corporate media, they know this. Democrats, they know this. They do. The facts are there. The data's there. They just hope that you don't know it. They hope that your friends and that enough Americans don't know the truth. They hope to keep us all in the dark, as many of us as possible, so that they can enact their bans. And again, I'll talk about why here in a minute. It's pretty obvious. I don't need to share it with you, but I will. Just because I like to talk about that kind of stuff. So what laws would work? Here's one. And I'm not in 100% agreement with Andrew Follett here, but it's definitely worth exploring. Laws that we know work, like cracking down on straw buyers, get entirely ignored in favor of oblivious attempts to gin up political support for policies we know do not work because we saw them fall or fail in Democrat-controlled cities. Statistically speaking, the most effective laws for reducing gun violence and gun homicides is cracking down on straw purchases. Okay? Straw purchases, that's where, you know, somebody who can't get a gun gets somebody who can get a gun and has them go buy it for them. That is illegal. It's a straw purchase. And I do believe he's right that, at least statistically speaking, that does make sense. It does make sense to enact those laws and they already exist, but to enforce the laws. Because right now, the biggest problem we have is that those types of laws just aren't getting any attention. They're not getting enforced, and they should be. Basically, every state, including ones with very intense gun laws, every state doesn't take straw purchases of firearms very seriously. It's mostly a misdemeanor. Nobody bothers to enforce it. As Kevin W. of National Review says, this is because of the bureaucratic laziness more than anything else. It's easier to pressure a federally licensed retailer with fixed addresses and regular business hours than it is to go chasing Joe Gangster's rap sheet-free girlfriend all over St. Louis. It's a great way to put it. Then there's a Washington Post. He links to an article that shows how one gun illegally purchased, a straw purchase, over 12 weeks was used in dozens of criminal acts. If you can't read him, it is subscriber blocked or whatever, paywall. If you can't read it, it's the saga of one specific straw purchase gun being used in dozens of criminal acts. The person who bought the gun committed a felony in the state of Virginia, where he bought it. He pled guilty to this and got a slap on the wrist. This is what annoys me so much about the gun control debate. It's entirely media-driven to gin up outrage, not solve problems. Media shifts the responsibility for criminal violence away from the criminals who did it and onto third parties that are easier to police. And who just so happens to have deeper pockets? You can't sue Baker, that's the guy who bought the gun in the WAPO story, or Stunna, the rapper who acquired the gun. There's no money in that. But you can shake down Bob's Shotgun Emporium or Remington, and that's what libs actually want. They want to shake us down. Also, if your argument is based on per 100,000 data, why target Chicago? They are only 10th in homicide per 100,000 this year. I actually specifically mentioned the worst cities. I need to point out, of course, St. Louis. Pointed out where the last GOP mayor left in 1949. Wow, that's great. That was from 2019. So yeah, we are looking in the wrong direction. We as a nation, I'm not talking we as conservatives, we as patriots. We are looking in the wrong direction. There are answers. There are ways to reduce gun violence. Follett says, hey, you know, we'll do the, get the more enforcement of straw purchases, which again, I'm hesitant. I don't want to put my entire whatever you want to call it, support behind that, because then we start to get into the regulation of the purchases in general, which is challenging, because it's a slippery slope. It can lead to further regulations of the way the guns are purchased, which, you know, once you start getting into straw purchases, you start really promoting universal background checks, and that's where we start getting into real danger zones here, folks. That's all I'm getting at. Okay? That's all I'm getting at. I don't disagree with him that they are more effective. And I do agree that people who should not be legally allowed to own a gun, people who are deemed as dangerous, people who have rap sheets, like you said, criminals, known criminals, convicted criminals, for them to use other people to purchase guns for them, not, it should be enforced, but again, like I said, slippery slope. But the one thing we do know for sure, this will, with certainty, based upon statistics, based upon all the data that we have available, the one thing we know for sure that can and will reduce gun violence is by lifting restrictions, by making it easier for law-abiding citizens to own firearms, and not just own them, but to carry them everywhere. Eliminate gun-free zones. Folks, these mass murderers that we've seen the last few weeks, they're cowards. They specifically went to places where they knew, beyond a reasonable doubt, there would be nobody armed there who could fight them. These are filthy, despicable, mentally ill cowards. They would never, you know, you want to be tough? You're 18-year-old? Okay, go walk into a police station. Pull a Terminator from the original Terminator movie. Okay? You'll get shot because there's people with guns. And it's not just because it's cops. Any place you go, any gun situation will end only when another gun appears. The longer that it takes for another gun to appear on the scene, the easier it will be for that murderer, that criminal, to be able to kill more people. We saw that down in Texas. We saw it. I mean, it took them an hour. That's why were so many children killed? Because it took police an hour before they could confront him directly. And there was nobody else there with a gun. When I forgot where it was. There's another mass shooting. I think it was around 2018, 2019. There was a mass shooting where the response time, police just happened to be nearby. The response time was approximately like 12 seconds. And they took the guy down. Wasn't able to really do much damage. Of course, we had that Texas shooting. The Texas church shooting a couple years ago. Where, you know, the guy pulls out a gun, starts shooting, and like the couple of associate pastors and several parishioners pulled out their firearms and took him down. Why? Because it was not a no-gun church. It was not a no-gun zone. So if we eliminate those, get rid of those. Make it to where they're... Because do you think criminals with intent of doing mass murder, do you think they're going to... Oh, you know what? I was going to go shoot up this place, but I see there's a sign there that says it's a no-gun zone. Oh, man, that really ruins my day. No, that's not how they think. They look at this, they specifically say, ooh, look at that, no gun zone. Let me mark this down as a possible target, a place where I can go, because they know that good guys with guns aren't going to be in there with their guns. Or at least they can have a reasonable expectation. To me, get rid of all no gun zones. All of them. Now, does that mean that, you know, what about a bar? You know, should you have armed people that are armed and drunk? No, I can see where there are certain circumstances where you don't have a You don't want people to be necessarily armed if they're in a certain condition, certain situation. But should the bar itself be a no-gun zone? Probably not. Okay? You just can't drink if you're armed. Believe it or not, there are people that go into bars that don't drink. Maybe they're designated drivers. Maybe they're just there to pick up somebody. I don't know. But to start designating specific locations as no-gun zones, it's the dumbest thing ever. It's basically, don't call it a no-gun zone, call it an invite for criminals to engage in murder. Of course, the second thing, and I've already mentioned this a dozen times, but I'll say it needs to be said one last time. If we arm more people, I'm all for proactively arming people. Okay? I'm saying, you have a law-abiding citizen, they're not armed, okay, talk to them. Try to get them to be armed. Help them to get, you know, if you're going to subsidize Ukraine, why not subsidize teachers to be armed? Why not subsidize, you know, security guards at schools, at churches, at shopping centers? Why can't we have that? If they're going to try to defund the police and they're going to try to take away our guns, they're basically saying, criminals, tyrants, you guys have free reign. Which brings me to the final point. This isn't about empowering criminals, even though it certainly seems like that, right? It seems as if this is all this gun control talk is about making it to where criminals will have free reign, just as they do in Chicago, St. Louis, Detroit, Baltimore. Okay, that's not what their goal is. I assure you, it's never been their goal. Their goal is to disarm us, because when tyranny strikes, and as we the closer we get to the Great Reset, the closer we get to tyranny striking here in the United States. It's already rearing its ugly head. When it starts to strike, the only way that we will be able to prevent it is by being armed. And they know this, which is why they want us disarmed. They want to take away our guns, not because of crime, not to save the deer, okay? Not just to make woke snowflakes feel better, feel safer. Oh, I'm so scared around cops. I'm so scared around good guys with guns, you know? I would much rather just plead and if a gunman comes to kill me, I'll hug them. I'll call a social worker. I don't know. Just get those cops and good guys with guns away. No, I mean, they're not appealing to those people. They are setting up the United States of America for tyranny, which is why the First and Second Amendment are so very important, which is why our founders knew. They knew. Okay, there's a lot of things they didn't realize. Okay, I think a lot of times, especially conservatives, we like to prop up the Founding Fathers as if they were divine inspired. They weren't, but they were smart men. And they did have a good idea of what it takes to prevent this type of tyranny that they were trying to end, the type of tyranny that they were escaping from, the type of tyranny that we've seen throughout history. The only way is an armed citizenry, period. That is the only way to stop tyranny from ever rearing its ugly head. The only way. If the citizens are armed, it makes it to where any tyrannical government will have a much, 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 much harder time achieving their goals. I'm not going to sit here and spew off literally every example because there's dozens of them. But the one that Wayne Allyn Root mentioned yesterday when he was interviewing me was that, you know, obviously Nazi Germany. First thing they did before they went to exterminate the Jews is they first disarmed the Jews. Made it a lot easier. It's a lot easier to control and or kill people if they are not armed. So when we see this agenda, and I promised in the beginning that I would say who the agenda is coming from. I would say the agenda is coming from the globalist elites, the powers that be, the powers and principalities, the demonic puppet masters, whatever you want to call it. Call them Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, George Soros, Barack Obama, World Economic Forum, United Nations, Democrat Party, Joe Biden, probably just a pawn in this, but still, he's participating. Kamala Harris, for sure. All these people that are behind this agenda, they want to have the option, at least some of them, while others have the plan. They either have the option, they either want the option or the plan to impose tyranny very easily over the population of the United States. That cannot happen as long as we remain armed. So I want you, here's your assignment for the day. I want you to find a leftist. Or even, I mean, just, they don't have to be a leftist. Find anybody who is in favor of gun control. And repeat to them exactly what I've said over the last hour. Hey, you might not remember everything unless you have a photographic memory. but repeat to them the information that we know. To recap, we know that no, the United States is not the least safe place nation in the world. Okay, when it comes to mass shootings, we are 64th on the list. Okay, places like some nice places, safe places like France, you know, supposedly safe, like France and Sweden have multiple times higher per capita mass shootings than we do. Number two, gun control is a way to increase gun violence. It's been proven time and time and time and time and time and time again. And corporate media knows this, Democrats know this, weak Republicans know it, and yet they also know that from a logical perspective, people stop at that first layer of fewer guns means fewer gun, less gun violence. That's just not the case. Fewer criminals who are emboldened by gun laws, that would reduce gun violence. And it's been shown to do that across the board. We are fighting for our freedom. And the way that they can prevent us from fighting for our freedom is to disarm us, which is why we must oppose being disarmed with everything that we have, folks. This is the United States of America. We are armed, at least we should be. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you all stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.
If you've taken the COVID jabs, or if you could have been exposed to vaccine shedding, Dr. Zev Zelenko has put together a detox solution for you. Shedding is becoming increasingly likely as more people get boosted. So go to zstacklife.com/freedom and make your immune system clean, resilient, and resistant. That's zstacklife.com/freedom. Every conservative show has a MyPillow code, and rightfully so. Mike Lindell is a true America First patriot who continues to fight the good fight. When you use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com, you're not just helping Mike, you're helping another America First organization, this show. Please use promo code NOQ at MyPillow.com. Our listeners do not want to be beholden to government. With food shortages impacting both prices and availability of food, it's time to take control of your family's long-term future. Go to noqreport.com/MPS and start stocking up immediately. Don't get stuck in breadlines when food becomes scarce. That's noqreport.com/MPS. As the economy and dollar show signs of falling or even collapsing very soon, now is the time to invest your portfolio or retirement in physical precious metals. This show strongly recommends OurGoldGuide.com for your gold and silver needs. Unlike the big players with big ad budgets, Our Gold Guide IRA is focused on you. That's OurGoldGuide.com.